First, for a family making less than $120,000, the tuition they pay for post-secondary education, training, and retraining would be fully deductible from a taxable income phased up to $10,000 a year. Second, for a family with an income of $75,000 a year or less, a tax cut phased up to $500 a year for every child under the age of 13. Third, for families with incomes under $100,000 a year, the ability to put away $2,000 tax-free into an IRA and then withdraw that money tax-free for cost of education, health care, first-time home, or the care of an elderly parent. Finally, we will make billions of dollars available that the government normally spends itself through separate job training programs directly to workers who can decide on how best to use the money to learn new skills. There's only one reason we can afford to do this at this time. We have worked very hard to cut government spending and to bring the deficit under control. The government debt increased by four times during the 12 years before I took office. I want to remind you what that burden means. It means that this April, when people make out their checks to the government, 28 cents of every dollar of federal income tax will be necessary to pay interest on the debt accumulated between 1981 and the day I was inaugurated. It is our responsibility to turn that around, and we have been working to fulfill it. We have already passed budgets that cut the deficit by $700 billion, eliminate 100 government programs, and cut over 300 others. A major part of this endeavor has been the Reinventing Government Initiative, led by the Vice President. I have worked hard to reduce and to redirect government for many years, since my early days as governor of my state, when we were one of the first states in the country to adopt a statewide total quality management program, which resulted in cutting regulation and paperwork, eliminating agencies and departments and programs that were unnecessary. Now we are cutting things that can be cut. We propose to stop doing things that government doesn't do very well and that don't need to be done by government. And we believe we should increase our efforts where government can make a real positive difference in the lives of ordinary Americans. We have to change yesterday's government and make it work for the America of today and tomorrow. In the last 2 years, we have made a good beginning. We have begun to shrink the federal government's bureaucracy to its smallest size in 30 years. The workforce of the federal government is already almost 100,000 below where it was on the day we were inaugurated. We are on the way to a reduction of 272,000 positions, cuts that are freeing up money to invest in our people. For example, every dollar that goes to fund the crime bill, which is a direct transfer of investment to our local communities at the grassroots level, comes from the cuts we are making. Later today at the Justice Department, I will announce new efforts under the crime bill to finish our commitment of putting 100,000 more police officers on the street and stop the crime that punishes so many American families. We have to continue to meet our responsibilities to the next generation. We must pay, therefore, for the middle class Bill of Rights, with new reductions in government spending, dollar for dollar. Spending cuts to pay for tax cuts, with no new cuts in Medicare and Social Security. I call on Congress to meet that same responsibility in their deliberations. Our administration has just completed a review in which we have identified $24 billion in cuts in bureaucracy, red tape, and outmoded programs to help to do this. And we are committed to continuing the freeze on discretionary spending, which will save another $52 billion in the next five-year budget cycle. We will do even more to shrink yesterday's government. I have called on the Vice President to review every single government program and department for further possible reductions. He's also going to review the federal regulatory process, and we have spent a good deal of time on that already, so that we can get better results for the public with less interference in their lives. Vice President Gore is here to discuss the details of our next round of proposals in reinventing government, along with Director Alice Rivlin, and the heads are representatives of five agencies in which we are proposing reductions now, including Secretary Cisneros, Secretary Pena, Deputy Secretary White, General Services Administration Director Roger Johnson, and Office of Personnel Management Director Jim King. I want to thank them and our entire economic team for their hard work in the last few weeks. I also want to say a special word of thanks to people who often get overlooked in this, and that is the employees of the United States government. The work they have done in the last 2 years to help us to reduce the size of the federal workforce by 100,000 already, to implement plans to take it down to a total of 272,000, and even more with the announcements we are making today, that work is truly exemplary. It would be envied by many of our biggest corporations in this country. They have rolled up their sleeves, they have been creative, they have found ways for us to save taxpayer money and redirect that into the middle class Bill of Rights and to investing in our future. This has been, I want to emphasize, a very disciplined, well-organized process. We have not let rhetoric and recklessness dominate it. This has been about reality. And again, as we go into the new year, that ought to be our motto. As I said the other night, country first, politics as usual dead last, focus on reality, not rhetoric, and not recklessness. It is not enough to cut government just for the sake of cutting it. Government is not inherently good or bad. In a new time, with a new economy, with new demands on ordinary American families, we need a leaner but not a meaner government. We need to put government back on the side of hardworking Americans. That means I will oppose certain cuts if they undermine our economic recovery, undermine middle-class living standards, undermine our attempts to support poor people who are doing their best to raise their children and want to work their way into the middle class, undermine our attempts to improve education, protect our environment, and move us into the future with a high-wage, high-growth economy. As I said last Thursday night, what we really need is a new American government for this new American economy in the 21st century. One that is creative and flexible, that's a high quality, low cost producer of services that the American people need and that can best be provided at the national level. The best thing we can do in this process is to follow the model that smart companies have done, which is to develop a good plan, put good people in charge, and pursue the goal with vigor. I am confident that I chose the right person to lead the reinventing government effort. I want to thank the Vice President and all of his team. They have done wonderful work, and I'd like now to turn the podium over to Vice President Gore.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Thank you very much for your kind words, and thank you for your kind words about the members of your administration who've really done this detailed work, and your kind words about the federal employees who have really been the source of virtually all of the ideas that we've implemented as part of the Reinventing Government initiative. Thank you most of all, Mr. President, for your proposal for a middle-class Bill of Rights. It is exactly what this country needs to make a transition to the future. Hardworking Americans have earned a break, and we can and will cover the cost of it by redoubling our campaign to reinvent government. We are sticking to the principles that we used in the first National Performance Review, principles that underpin America's most innovative and successful private companies. Those principles are: put customers first, cut red tape, delegate authority, and cut back to basics. That is how we will decide what government should stop doing. We'll put customers first in this review by getting them involved at every stage of the process and listening carefully to their opinions and ideas. We will stop producing red tape and start paying more attention to results than we do to processes. And as you have asked, Mr. President, we're going to also see about in reinventing the government's approach to regulatory issues and the regulatory process. That's well underway also. We will stop making so many decisions in Washington that would be better made by state government, local government, or individual citizens, and we will replace Washington interference with local opportunity. 2 weeks ago, I joined with 7 cabinet members to sign the Oregon Option, a pact with the state of Oregon to turn problem solving over to the people closest to the problems, and we need to do a lot more of that. Cutting back to basics means that we should shed the remnants of yesterday's government because yesterday has gone. For example, we don't need an agriculture field office within one day's horseback ride of every farm. And so we're closing over 1,200 USDA field offices. We're looking to close a lot more field offices in other agencies as long as we can continue to improve customer service. Americans know that they don't have to sacrifice good service to get low cost. In fact, reductions in cost and improvements in service often go hand in hand. That's why we've emphasized our effort to create a government that works better and costs less. Cutting back to basics means stop trying things that are not working. For example, public housing projects simply do not achieve the results that we are after. We've tried long enough to fix them. It's time to try something completely different. Time to try market solutions instead of administrative solutions. Cutting back to basics also means stop trying to run businesses by bureaucratic rules. We plan to make air traffic control a corporation and to do the same thing with mortgage insurance. We'll consider a long list of other government functions that could be incorporated or that we could simply purchase from the private sector more cheaply and more efficiently. We're going to make government work better and interfere less. And we're going to cut out functions that are not needed. We're going to trade interference for opportunity. We're going to make it possible for middle-class Americans to have the break they've earned to raise a family, educate their children, and get ahead in life. These are ideas and initiatives that President Clinton and I wrote about when then Governor Clinton was the nominee in 1992 in the book that we co-authored entitled Putting People First. We've worked very hard on these efforts, and we're making tremendous progress, and I'm going to have some more to say about it in just a moment. I'm going to introduce each of the individuals who are going to be making brief presentations and then respond to questions. I now want to invite up my partner in this endeavor, the Director of the Office of Management and Budget, Alice Rivlin. And joining us are the leaders who developed the bold changes that have already been decided by President Clinton. Transportation Secretary Pena will tell you how we're going to stop directing traffic from Washington. HUD Secretary Cisneros will describe our plan to raise the 60-room mansion of government grants and clear the lot so communities can decide for themselves what to build. Deputy Energy Secretary Bill White will outline our plan to bring that Cold War and OPEC era department up to date. Roger Johnson and Jim King will tell you how we are phasing out old-fashioned centralized management of the government, turning commercial functions like training and real estate rental to the private sector where they belong, and giving frontline managers the opportunity to actually manage. I'm going to ask each of them to make a short statement about the major reforms in their agencies, and they will join me in being available to answer your question. But before they begin, I know that you are all aware that we gave serious consideration to totally eliminating each of these agencies. In these cases, the President and I were convinced that the reinvention and reform option was preferable. But over the next several months, we will be looking at every other agency and program, asking the direct question, do we really need this agency? Do we really need this program? Is there a better way to do it? Is there an opportunity here to give middle-class Americans a break? We have already eliminated over 100 programs. We will eliminate a lot more in the weeks and months ahead. I'd now like to, as the President departs, I'd now like to ask Alice Rivlin to lead off the detailed presentation.
Let me make a brief statement about that.
I want to say just two things about the North Korean situation. First of all, I called the families of the two soldiers involved today to express my concern, and in the case of the gentleman who was killed, my condolences to the family. And I told them what I can tell you. I've worked on this all weekend. I'm going to keep working on it, and we're working toward an early resolution of it. We're doing the very best we can. I don't have any details to tell you now. As you know, I think Congressman Richardson is in North Korea, and he is working with us and also doing a very fine job. I have nothing else to say at this time, except it's a high priority. We're working on it, and we're going to do our best to resolve it. Thank you.